first 400 janitors in Milwaukee last week negotiated a union contract that establishes a $15 minimum wage. The three-year contract, ratified by Service Employees International Union Local 1, will also make Juneteenth an official holiday and bump wages to above $15 by the time it expires. We're talking about that contract and service worker pay in general, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see more unionization in Wisconsin, especially in the service sector, or do you think it's not needed? Were you part of this Local 1 organizing effort? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. John Shelton is an associate professor and chair of Democracy and Justice Studies at UW-Green Bay. He's the author of Teacher Strike, Public Education, and the Making of a New American Political Order. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob, and happy Labor Day to everybody out there.
Can you start by talking about the significance of this contract? Not the hugest union deal we're ever going to see in this country, but do you see it as significant for service workers?
Yeah, this is a big deal. SEIU just nationally has been involved for over a decade with the fight for $15. This has been a grassroots movement to basically say that service sector workers and other folks on the lower end of the pay scale have been grossly underpaid for some time, even though the economy has gotten more productive. So, you know, for the vast majority of workers since about the 1970s, their pay has stagnated. And, you know, it's really because of the efforts of groups like these janitors and others that, you know, they've put the $15 an hour wage scale, you know, on the national radar. But more importantly, we've seen, you know, workers now negotiating to get this. We've seen workers organizing to get this politically. And $15 an hour minimum wage at this point is kind of a no-brainer. I mean, it cuts across partisan lines. You know, I'll just remind listeners if they don't remember, back in the 2020 election, you know, Florida, for example, which, you know, supported Donald Trump, a Republican, in that election, also by a pretty large margin, bumped up the minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2026, and they've already increased their minimum wage. So this is a big issue, and the work of this union and you know these workers who organized is a big win for workers, and it'll reverberate, I think, for service sector workers throughout Milwaukee and the Milwaukee area.
Now, this is an existing union. It's been around this union local for quite some time with a new contract here. Can you talk about some of the challenges faced in the service industry when it comes to organizing? I know with a janitorial company, you have workers working often in different sites, not necessarily seeing each other that often. In, say, fast food, you might have high turnover where people are coming and going. Do those things make it harder to organize service workers in many industries?
Yeah, that's definitely the case. So, you know, if you think back to when labor law was constructed, like, you know, the labor law that sort of, governs private sector workers in this country, a lot of the you know, kind of founding assumptions go back to the 1930s. And, you know, when you had these big, you know, work sites, most of your listeners are probably familiar with, you know, factories like automobile factories, and steel factories and the like. And so, you know, when you have that many people under one roof who are, you know, working around similar schedules, it's a lot easier to organize them. And so, you know, for service employees, as you said, Rob, you know, many of whom might actually be at different work sites, have very different schedules, it can be a challenge to organize them. If you want to get into this later, we can talk about this. It doesn't help that American labor law really hasn't kind of caught up with it, you know, kept up with the times. But I think what these workers show is it is possible to organize. And as you mentioned, they've been around for some time. And the work that they've done has led to this contract. And so, you know, I do think this is a model for other workers out there looking to organize to be a good example.
We've seen non-unionization efforts working toward $15 minimum wages, especially I'm thinking of the fast food industry and the Fight for 15 campaign involving some workers at fast food places, but stopping short of trying to have a union organization drive and then negotiate a contract. What do you think of that kind of middle ground, advocating for that pay change, but not in a formal union setting?
Well, one thing I would remind you of is that actually, you know, from the very outset, the Fight for $15 campaign hasn't got as much media coverage, but the call the entire time has been $15 an hour and a union. So, you know, one of the things that workers have you know, in say the fast food industry have done is, you know, they've sort of tried parallel tracks, right? So to your point, you know, the goal has always been to have a union, because I think what a lot of these workers would say is, you know, a pay increase is good and necessary, but, you know, what they actually, you know, want long term is, you know, more job security, more control over what their working conditions are going to look like. You know, the fact that this janitors union secured Juneteenth as a holiday, you know, when this is a very diverse union, you know, shows that, you know, unions are important for more than just what we might think of as, you know, pay and bread and butter issues. So, you know, that's always been the case for Fight for 15. But you're right. You know, some of these, you know, some of the fast food strikes that people are probably aware of, you know, these were, you know, kind of largely about sort of raising public awareness as much as, you know, the sort of immediate goal of forming a union. And in that sense, they've succeeded, right? And I think, you know, workers in many sectors across the country have benefited from that effort to put this on the political radar and make it something that you know, lots of politicians and lots of political parties are paying attention to.
We're talking to John Shelton, Associate Professor and Chair of Democracy and Justice Studies at UW Green Bay, looking at a new union contract for service workers, janitors in this case, in Milwaukee, with a $15 wage, looking at what that might mean for workers in the service business elsewhere around the state. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think workers in the service industry should be getting paid $15 an hour? Do you think there needs to be more unionization? Do you see value for that? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Before we go to our callers, John, do you see a road to a minimum wage change via policymakers, especially in a state like Wisconsin, or do you think it's going to come from this kind of effort?
Well, you know, I think, I do think long term, you know, it is necessary to have policy changes, right? And one of these is a minimum wage increase. I think it's also the case that bigger labor reforms are needed too. Something like the PRO Act, which makes it, you know, sort of levels the playing field and makes it easier for workers to organize. That's something we can talk about, you know, if that's something that you're interested in later. But you know, I do think it may be that until we get those big pay increases, that until we, you know, get those big, you know, that big legislative pay increase, that it is going to sort of be on workers. And I think that's particularly the case in Wisconsin, right? We have, I think, a legislature, you know, I think folks probably know about gerrymandering at this point, where, you know, the party that's in power, some of the policies they put forward are kind of out of sync with what it is that most of the working people in the state want, which I think is a higher minimum wage. So, you know, what I think we'll see are more efforts like this to organize and try and get higher minimum wages, you know, through collective bargaining. Now, I also think it's the case that, you know, the worker shortage that I'm sure many of your listeners are paying attention to, which is driving up wages right now, you know, it is also, you know, giving workers who are looking to organize leverage. And so I think for those workers who are thinking about how do we, you know, kind of work together to raise our wages absent, you know, some big legislative increase, you know, now as I think these janitors show is a good moment to do it, because employers are really, you know, worried about worker turnover and, you know, staffing at this moment when, you know, workers have relatively more bargaining power individually than they have in some time.
We're picking up our talk with John Shelton, Associate Professor and Chair of Democracy and Justice Studies at UW Green Bay, looking at a successful bargaining effort on the part of Milwaukee janitors, a union local there getting a $15 wage, and labor issues that service workers face more generally. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Sawyer is with us in Madison. Sawyer, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Sawyer?
Yeah, I'm a union steward at a grocery store in Madison, and we're currently making $13.80. We're looking at getting our second union contract in January. We're going to begin negotiations then. And our people are already thinking about how MIT has released a study showing that minimum wage in Madison to live in Madison should actually be at the bare minimum $15.50. So for us, you know, when we negotiate in January, we're already thinking of moving beyond the fight for 15 and saying, you know, what can we make? How much money do we need to make to actually live in Madison?
Thanks a lot for that call. And John, that idea of wages not matching up to the cost of living in communities.
Yeah, and I just want to thank Sawyer for that comment, because I think it's really important. You know, the kind of high watermark of the minimum wage in the United States was 1968. And if the minimum wage had just kept up with inflation since 1968, workers would be looking at about $24-25 an hour right now. So for a whole number of political reasons, that hasn't happened. But Sawyer's point is a good one, right? It's $15, you know, really began as sort of a political call to illustrate how far out of whack minimum wages were with what workers should actually be getting paid. And I think it's important to note that the janitor's contract, $15 an hour is where they start. So by the end of the 3-year contract, they're actually going to have a wage that's higher than that. And I think the strategy of Sawyer's union is absolutely right, is absolutely the right way to go about it, to think about what it is that workers need, you know, rather than some arbitrary, you know, kind of wage that's, you know, political slogan. I mean, that I think served its time and is still relevant in some cases. But, you know, for folks who have a union and have a good negotiating strategy, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. So I'm very appreciative of that comment. I think it adds a lot to the conversation.
Sawyer, thanks for calling in. We'll go to Peter now in Milwaukee. Peter, hello.
Greetings. It's great to be on here talking with you. I'm the president of the Local Service Workers Union here in Milwaukee, and thought it'd be great to have a chance to talk with you about the contract victories of service and hospitality workers here. I just want to note real quick, the statistic that John referenced there is slightly off. It's if minimum wage had kept pace with productivity gains, that's what workers contribute to growing the economy. It would be about $24 an hour, not inflation.
Okay. And Peter, tell us more about this contract from your view, and if you're looking to replicate that.
Yeah, and I just to build off of some of what John is noting here, the $15 an hour minimum wage is not coming from politicians, whether the federal level, certainly not the state level. And, you know, unfortunately, city and county officials are hamstrung by state preemption laws. So here in Milwaukee, service and hospitality workers have been organizing to establish a labor market wage floor of 15 and up through our union contract. It started with Pfizer Farm Arena workers over a year ago, winning 15 now. So as of last January, actually, the minimum wage for folks in the arena district was 15 and moving up from there. And earlier this year, other essential workers like the nursing home CNAs, that's a Jewish home, or the Sodexo food service workers over at the Marquette campus fought for and won 15. So this is how workers, in fact, are building a higher wage floor. And this janitorial contract was first and foremost about winning 15 as a down payment on a real living wage, just like the last caller talked about. But really, workers need far more than 15. But to be able to win the true living wage that we need, which is certainly $24 or more per hour, we had to win 15 first, and as John has noted, that's where the movement in the streets has been at. So check that box. This contract campaign was a huge victory for service and hospitality workers, seeing that when you organize through unions, we can fight for and win major demands, but we're not stopping there. And that's why the second aspect of this union contract was so important. The contract campaign really honed in on ensuring that all who clean in Milwaukee have a chance to be covered by this union contract. You know, it doesn't matter whether you clean a commercial office building in downtown Milwaukee or you're in a wastebasket and scrubbing a toilet in a suburban office park. Doesn't matter whether you're pushing a mop in a retail outlet in a strip mall or even, you know, cleaning as a housekeeper in a hospital. Frontline essential workers everywhere who are the cleaners that keep us safe, sanitary, and secure should be paid living wages, should have health care, should have a pension, should have dignity, rights, and respect on the job. So this contract campaign was about fighting for and winning a charter for all cleaners in Milwaukee to be covered by this union contract and the opportunity to join together. The truth is, we're not going to win living wages for any cleaners, much less all of us in the industry, unless we have the combined power, that labor market bargaining power that comes from a strong union. So we have to build across the industry, and this contract campaign made that possible.
Peter, thanks a lot for calling in and sharing the insider perspective there with us. John, your thoughts on what he had to say?
Yeah, really, really glad Peter could give us that perspective. I agree with just about everything he said there. You know, just also want to thank him for the corrective. Did I say inflation? I meant productivity. But I appreciate him pointing that out. I think what this really speaks to, you know, if you think about the nature of our economy, for the last, I don't know, as long as I can remember, there's been this kind of fiction, you know, that the only way to have sort of dignity on the workplace is, you know, to get a college degree, to get advanced education, to fill this, you know, supposed, need for, you know, better trained workers. And I'm not saying that training is bad. I'm a university professor and I believe in public education. But the reality is, when you look at Bureau of Labor Statistics, you know, the one of the fastest growing, you know, job sectors in this country are in one of the biggest numbers of aggregate jobs in general are service sector workers. They're not going anywhere. And every worker in this country deserves dignity and deserves to have their needs met and to be able to afford the basic, you know, cost of living and even beyond that, to have a good, secure life. And, you know, unfortunately, our political system has not, you know, kept up there. And so it's important for workers, you know, in unions like these to fight for it. And, you know, I think, Peter's absolutely right. This will have bigger ramifications than just the 400 workers who are immediately covered by the contract.
Now, John, there might be business owners out there, maybe a fast food franchise or somebody who operates a personal care facility and says, I'd love to pay my people that much. I don't make enough money. I can't afford that. That's been a sticking point in arguments for increasing to, say, a $15 minimum wage. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that is often an argument that folks make. But what I would say to that is, they're just not going to have the choice. I mean, if you look at what's happening with the economy right now, workers have more options now than they used to. And part of this is, I think, you know, what we've seen over the past couple of years is a recognition, you know, from the federal government that there should be some kind of baseline for folks, right? So you look at the, the Biden administration and the child tax credit and how that's raising the floor, for working folks. And so, employers, they're going to have to reckon with this, because the idea that they can, you know, effectively subsidize profits on, you know, workers who literally can't make ends meet is just not going to be a reality much longer. So if they want to compete and they want to have workers, and, you know, that's the other part of this that I think we don't talk enough about, this contract for the janitors, is this actually going to benefit the employer, because they're going to have less worker turnover and they're going to make sure that they have, you know, the workforce that they need to provide the services that they provide. So in a lot of ways, you could see this as a win-win.
Time for one more caller. Arthur is calling from by Sauk City. Arthur, hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. And thanks for hosting this program. It's a great opportunity to talk about this issue. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm a huge supporter of unions in Wisconsin. The stronger and more robust, the better. But we have had a whole lot of attacks on our ability to organize unions, and there are a whole bunch of rules and regulations. I was curious about possibly using the fraternal order structure to provide like group services for industries, like a service industry fraternity that could do like group health insurance plans. Would that be a possibility, or other ways to unionize less traditional union type workers like bartenders and servers?
Interesting. Arthur, John, is that something that's going on out there?
Yeah, Arthur, I mean, there's been some interesting efforts to do that kind of stuff. I mean, I think about like the Freelancers Union, for example, which is, you know, tried to find a way to take people who are sort of in more, I guess, I hate to use this term, but just for expediency's sake, you know, less sort of traditional, you know, job structures and organize them. You know, I think in anything that's going to build the power of a group of workers, you know, in any sector, whatever structure it is going to help them to get a better deal. But I think long term, you know, there's really a whole set of, I think, political, you know, reforms that are necessary to truly, you know, make sure that the needs of all working people are met. And so to the health insurance question, for example, I would say, you know, we should really take health insurance out of, this is just my personal opinion, others might disagree, but, you know, we should really take health insurance out of the domain of employers, right? We need something like a universal health insurance system so that when workers are negotiating with employers, that's not even something that needs to be on the table because they know their needs will be met there. And they can focus on other issues like workplace safety and wages and the like. And, you know, I think that would go, you know, in the absence of that, some kind of workers cooperative for people that don't have a collectively bargained contract with health insurance could be a really good idea. But I think it would be better to press for a system of universal health insurance that would make sure that everybody's needs are met there.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. And once again, happy Labor Day, everybody.
John Shelton is an associate professor at UW Green Bay, author of Teacher Strike. He joined us to talk about a new union deal Milwaukee janitors reached last week.